Welcome to Apple Pie Playground, where we serve up slices of healing for the heart. Stay tuned for a journey of transformation back to the divine inner child. Can you come out and play today?
Welcome, everybody, to Apple Pie Playground. I'm your host, Valerie, and it is so, so good to be here with you today. And I want to thank you, BBS, for your support. We are so grateful for you as well. We ended last week's show with something of a rushed explanation of willpower. And maybe we can review that idea a little bit as we get started today. So let's follow that breadcrumb into just a little bit of a conversation about our creation energies and forming intentions and see where we go. So willpower is a practice of the mind, if you recall from our conversation of last week. We will an outcome in the mind as a result of cognition aligning the ego with the story of its identity. And we know it's something of a narrative that guides choices in the mind. And those choices are made as we further that narrative. So every choice that we make furthers the story of ourselves. And our hearts can actually overcome the mind's habit of willpower, as it were. And we do this through conscious awareness practices. The choice is always ours, friends, which muscle we're going to use to create the results that we really want in our lives. Are we going to use the brain or are we going to use the heart? And ego is not a bad thing. We know that ego builds in a way for bodies to understand the physical world. But it is subconsciously self-directing when we think about it. It relies on our shadow selves, our automated subconsciousness, to run the show most of the time, instead of consciously being aware of ourselves, right? If we're not very careful and intentional, our minds really can be controlled fairly easily. And we know that it's everywhere in our lives, right? Through this script of identity that we hold on to and that we use in the choice making that we do every single day. But a heart that learns the discernment that comes with a different kind of choosing that we call intuition, that can't be controlled, right? It's why we rest in heart space. All our searching for feelings of peace is there in that process in the heart. It's in the capacity to discern with intuition. It does create the peace that we're looking for, and it's a peace that the brain cannot create for us, right? We're moving ourselves into the center of our energy field as we learn to discern and to move and create with intuition, and we are actually moving away from mind control the more we are able to drop into that heart energy and to do those things. We know that we are attached to souls who value sovereignty. And so what is sovereignty? Well, it's internal self-regulation, right? It's the inner work of alignment, self-regulating beingness. That's what we do energetically. That's what a sovereign spirit does. It maintains an internal self-regulation, and that's a very important thing for us as spiritual entities, right? Now, free will on the other hand, is the cognitive process. It is a cognitive process of positioning identity or ego to make choices according to its needs, right? Its mental cognitive needs. So the identity of an ego has a story to tell, right? And willpower resources the work of the mind to obtain the results of that storyline. Can we understand that? Remember, control mechanisms of the mind, they prop up an ego, right? The ego persona, which involves protecting a personality. Okay, all of this is going on in the mind. It is a mechanism of our physical human experience, right? What we do in the mind, in this narrative that we create. It doesn't translate very well into the energetic realm, right? The two are not the same. The two processes are fairly different, right? Can they be compatible? Yes, they can, but they're not the same. We don't function in the same way in our brain as we do in our energetic heart space. The heart is a decision-making machine of a very different kind. Let's put it that way. Where intentions align with the environment of the body's experiences, okay? In order to build a reality of a different kind than what we get cognitively, okay? Not by willpower, but by focus and flow. So let's take an example. We can't force the mind to feel happy when it's sad, right? Ego can do a lot of things in that circumstance. It can assign blame for sadness. Ego can deny sadness. Ego can victimize sadness, right? Ego can connect the emotion to suitcases of subconscious experiences, right? To build out a story that explains our identity and things attached to our identity, all of which culminate into our feelings of sadness. The brain can do all of that stuff. But here's the thing. We can release the mind from all of that stuff that we may not even want to be doing, right? We can ease the mind. We can stop that narrative, right? The spiraling of ego mind. We can stop the identifying and labeling going on in the mind that assigns blame and makes excuses. And we can drop into the heart. We can do that. We can breathe and allow what worries us or saddens us to display itself. And because we don't hold on to it, what saddens us can flow away. And we don't have to tell a story about it. It doesn't have to become or remain a narrative. Right? If we're willing to stay heart-centered through the process of breathing and dropping into the center of our energy and allowing what worries us or makes us sad to appear and observe and then sit with it and let it go, right? See the difference? It's a matter of what we try to build and hold desperately onto in the brain and then what we learn to observe and let go in the heart. And our sadness may take multiple trips through our brain and into our hearts, right? We can do that over and over again as we sit with our feelings, as we recognize what we're feeling and the emotions we may have and you know, how to choose to experience those impulses and those emotions as they move through and as we observe them. Even while we're hurting, we can be mindful to do these things, right? Remembering to offer ourselves compassion as we sit in the heart with ideas that might sadden us, for example, to go with our example there. I suppose the point is, the heart doesn't will anything, right? Any control that we experience in our thought processes is happening in the mind and only in the mind, okay? Essentially, we are sovereign spirits with free will minds. That is the duality of what we're doing down here in this human body. Right? We are doing these two things, trying to connect them and live through this human experience as sovereign spirits with free will minds. That's not an easy thing. Because spirits flow towards synchronicity. And that is our fail-safe. It is our trajectory of what spirits do. We align and we synchronize, right? The mind does something very different. It tends to push and manage and manipulate. And when we get into personality traits and our life experiences, the mind can lie and cheat and steal and all of these other kinds of experiences that the body and the mind might concoct to go through, right? And we know that these things are not our true selves, right? That is all packaged in the human experience. These things that our mind helps the body to think and then to do. But it's the self-focused expression of ego, right? It's what we do call free will. It's what we do create as forces of our will at work in the mind, and how we generate that will into behaviors of our bodies, right? It's the determination of an ego to maintain a storyline. It's what the mind-body experience and duality likes to do. So generally, as a practice, we can decide at any time to drop out of that whole situation. We can learn to do that, to drop out of the mind and to move into our energy field, right? Into our hearts and realign our energy flow. That's what we spend time learning to do, because it is the process that feeds our spirit after all. So far, we're talking about moving from the mind into our energy center, into our heart space, right? So what does it mean to actually create from the heart? How do we do that? How do we create from the heart, right? So the question might actually be, what are we talking about when we say we can create from the heart? Is that hard to believe that we might choose not to create from the mind? You know, the question might be, where do intentions come from? What are they? What do they do in this process of creating from the heart? How related are intentions to what people might call manifestations of things that, you know, we might want to generate in our lives? So, you know, where do we start with this idea that maybe we've never thought of before? And maybe we can start with the idea that we create toward our intentions, right? Is that fair? We create toward our intentions. And intentions develop as a creative process. They arise as our spirit is able to engage this creation process that it loves. And let me say that the late Dr. Wayne Dyer wrote a whole book about this idea, right? He wrote a book on the power of intentions, and that's the title, and I recommend it as wonderful reading. So let's start with the idea that nothing exists really before we decide it does, right? And we remember this axiom. We remember this. We've heard this idea from beloved teachers many, many times over, right? So can we agree on that? That we have that power, right? We create the whole of our reality at any given time. If we can decide that we agree on that premise, right? That creation happens in the time of the now, where we are inventing it at any given moment, right? It unfolds in our expectations of it, right? And that creation is an event of the now space, right? It doesn't occur in a future place, right? Our reality is as it is created right now, as we literally step into what is at any given moment, that is the creation before us of our reality. That's just not there until it unfolds by our own doing, right? Can we agree on that? Does it make sense? So what are intentions if everything is in the now? Intentions join together our present moments to create expressions of our creativity, right? Intentions join together in our now as it unfolds, right? In our present moment to create expressions of our creation process, of our creativity itself, our creation energy. And Dr. Dyer used a wonderful example to explain this in his book. He used the example of the Wright brothers, right? And his example goes like this. The Wright brothers didn't contemplate the staying on the ground of things, right? As they invented the airplane, their contemplation was not the staying on the ground of things, right? As they moved through their invention process, as they conceptualized this thing called the airplane, they did not do this invention and this conceptual creation process of the airplane by contemplating what would stay on the ground, right? They did something very different in their creation process with their creation energies. They contemplated the flying in the air of things. They contemplated the flying in the air of things. See the difference? Right? It actually took the Wright brothers 4 years to get a plane to fly 4 miles in a sustained control flight trajectory. It took them 4 years, right, to go 4 miles. And here's the thing, like the trajectory of the airplane, creation energy generates a trajectory, an unfolding of experience for you and for me, using the path of our contemplations, or what we call intentions, right? Creation energy generates a trajectory using our intentions. In other words, what unfolds is what we focus on, right? Intentions are creation energies at work. materializing what we are creating at any given moment, right? Our focus generates a trajectory of expression that we experience in our eternal moment as it unfolds, every single unfolding, right? And more than anything, Dr. Dyer called this process a process of imagination. And he explains that imagination allows us to participate in the universal creation process. And children have such extraordinary imagination. And we think, wow, how did this child come up with such an extraordinary idea? Well, friends, that is the essence of our spirit. The essential self is the imagination of creation energy. It is the most natural thing in the world for a child so close to the veil to exert imagination. It's the beautiful reality that a child creates being so close to creation energy and the spirit of things, right? And imagination is described as the inner picture of our reality guiding us. Okay? The inner picture of our reality guiding us. The reality of our spirit journey, as it were, rather than the external picture of our reality guiding, right? In other words, the energetic experience that can guide us if we choose, rather than the physical one, right? Rather than the mental narrative of the ego that keeps us controlled and that is self-perpetuating. We can choose an energetic experience instead. So we are therefore not relying on the physical information around us to control us, right? Right? Going back to the Wright brothers, it took 4 years of failing equipment and faltering cockpits to get a plane in the air. But that was not the inner picture that they were guided by. Do we see that? No, they were guided by the inner picture of a plane in the air. They were guided by flight. They were guided by the inner picture of flight. Does that make sense? Flight was their inner knowing, right? Their process of intention that allowed the energy of creativity to work itself through and into the present moment experience of this dream that the Wright brothers held as essential experience in their creativity every single moment, right? The intentions of their creation energy. Flight was the trajectory of their focus, right? Does that make sense? In the mind of the Wright brothers, their plane already flew. From the very first daydream, it flew already. They conceived of it in the air. Even with the failed attempts, every single one of them, every single setback, the plane flew in their hearts. Right? Creation energy set a trajectory of intention that matched the Wright brothers' imagination. And reality developed according to alignment of intention and creation energy. So do we see how it works? Right? We are not trying to prepare for a future result. We're not doing that. The Wright brothers didn't spend a minute doing that. We're not working to manifest a future event or a future outcome. We're not in that space in the heart energy of creation. We are aligning our focus to trigger the reality that we intend. That's what we're doing. We call our reality into being, essentially. That's what we're doing, right? So maybe let's take a few minutes and let's let those ideas sink in a while. And maybe we can take a minute and play a little bit together, right? Get a little creative. You want to? Let's play a little bit together and get out our notebooks and maybe find something to write with and something to write on. And let's spend some creative time, right? Let's try this thing out, this creative energies, and see what we come up with. So let's take a minute, let everybody get a piece of paper, get to something to write with and something to write on. Let's do a little activity together that we like to do on Sunday afternoons. And we'll find something to write with and something to write on. And we're going to take a minute to draw some symbols. Okay. So if you have your paper or your notebook, we're going to take a minute to draw some symbols on our paper. All right. Is everybody ready? We are going to draw symbols on our paper that represent the idea of joy. Symbols that represent joy. Okay, let's take a minute and on your paper, jot down some symbols that represent joy. Okay? And you can get as creative as you want. Symbols that represent joy. And let's ask ourselves, how are those symbols, right, that we just put on our paper? And hopefully we've had time to think about the symbols we would use and we can get them on our paper. How are those symbols connected to the idea of joy? Right? The symbols we just used. What are the contexts of those symbols? Right? What are the contexts of those symbols? Where do they come from? As far as their meaning is concerned, we used symbols to draw in meaning for something that we call joy. Where do those symbols come from as far as the meaning that we've created? So let me ask you, did anybody use alphabet letters to spell joy as symbols for the word joy? Did anybody do that? Did anybody use alphabet letters to spell out joy, J-O-Y, on your paper? Well, what other symbols might we have used? What other images do we draw to us when we think about joy? Right? And so as we think about these symbols and the experience of calling on ideas that are symbolic, the imagery that comes to us as we put ideas in motion, and we allow creative flow to bring to us ideas that are generated from the imagination, we can begin to think about what we like to do in this idea of intuitive building of our intentions into our reality. So maybe there's a question there somewhere. We might be asking ourselves, what holds us back from a creative flow that energizes our good intentions? And when we think about it, is it easy for us to be frustrated when things don't turn out the way we expect at any given time? Or do we lose focus? Do we undermine our creative energy? Do we lose the inspiration of our imagination to the realities of what we see as failure or setbacks? Failure is a real thing for the human experience. It is a real hurdle, as it were, for the human mind. Our egos don't enjoy failure, that's for sure. And it is something of a stumbling block for us, a natural limitation for us that is sometimes inconsolable. And so it's very important to move past this physical experience of failure into what is eternal experience, where judgment and failure don't have much meaning anymore. And sometimes that's hard to do. So a question might be, can we experience our reality as something other than this starting and stopping of efforts of avoiding failure? And can we experience it as maybe already offering what we imagine consistently enough to bring it into beingness? Is that a different way that we can look at things? Will we lose focus or momentum if we choose to look at things that way? Will the intentions of our own dreams take flight if we can choose to look past these temporal markers of failure, right? As an analogy, or will we sabotage them, our intentions, right? With this egoic expression of what our mind does in our limitations. It's really up to us, isn't it? And are we careful to resist moving our focus into a future focus? We can very easily change this imagination, creative concentration of energies from a now experience into a future focus, and then we've lost that beautiful, eternal now present moment experience that we were hoping for. And we then project future experience onto what we're doing, and we are focused on a future that we are living rather than in our present moment experience. And there is a difference for us. A lot of manifestation techniques are future focused. We are doing something in the now that is actually meant to propel us into a future. And so we begin then to think about this future experience or expression rather than the now moment of our imagination and our creation, and therefore our intentions are not anchored in the spirit's expression of creativity in our imagination and in our now. But we have pushed all of that into the future. And when our good work really is to intend what is already true for us, right? That's really what we're wanting to do. Our intention is a focus on creating what is already true for us, right? We don't have to work it out into a future moment, into a future focus. And that really honors the creation process when we can be intentional in our now, right? On what is already true for us. Just like the Wright brothers did. The Wright brothers had been flying planes in their creative realities for a number of years, right? Before one actually flew. And the question is, maybe are we dedicated to that degree of intention where it is ever present in our experience, in our expression, in our energetic expression of creation and who we are and what we do, and through our intentions, right? How casual are we with our intentions, right? How fickle are we? How do they change? And that's not to say change is bad, right? Because change is an ever-flowing expression of our celestial energies, for sure. But let me give you a cliche example, right? Of the casual nature we might approach our intentions with. Let me give you a cliche. We all want world peace, right? And so how dedicated are we? Really dedicated to that kind of focus? Or is it something of a lip service, right? To an idea that somehow is a great vision for a future that is not being supported in our present now, right? Because our spirits cannot really be fooled. We can't really fool our spirits into believing anything, right? Our minds can be fooled because part of its job is to actually fool us into identities wrapped in ego personas. That's the whole bit, right? That's the whole idea of what our brain does in this duality experience, is it creates the temporal identity of what this character is in the human experience. But our spirits, right, and universe itself, for that matter, knows our true intentions, right? There is a truth underlying intention. That's what makes it so powerful. All things know our intentions. Everything works together to fulfill our intentions. That's the whole idea of the divinity behind the creative intention, the energy of this creative intention that we use as spirits in our co-creating capacities, right? We are fully known to the universe, friends. We can't fake ourselves into the celestial realm, right? The only person we ever really fool is our human person. It's our human persona. We fool ourselves all the time that way. But that means that our very first best opportunity to bring into fruition our desires really is to be honest with ourselves about what our intentions really are, right? To be authentic in our intentions. We're not going to manifest through creative energies outcomes that we expect if the creative energy is not really propelling what we are really desiring in an energetic way. Does that make sense, friends? Because we have to be in what we are passionate about. We have to be driven by what is the imagination passionate about. What is the imagination creating for itself? Right? What really brings us joy? What do we spend our time meditating on and urging ourselves to create and daydreaming about? Right? What do we actually prefer to do with our time and our energy and our talents? Right? And the conversation takes us back to the idea of identity and authenticity. Right? We can build an identity in the mind, but is that spiritually, energetically authentic? Right? And sometimes it is, it aligns, and sometimes it doesn't. And the question is, which way will we go? Re-energizing our imagination and putting into a framework, our intentions energetically. Which way will we go? Will we go the way of the mind, or will we go the way of our heart space? Right? And so, is it possible that we spend a lot of our day doing things we don't want to do? Right? And is that a problem when creation energy can't really work in that kind of environment? The spirit just isn't interested in what you have to do that hour before lunch every day to get yourself from the tasks that you don't like doing into a break that you can sit down and get away from everything in the office and actually just allow yourself to be in a different reality, right? The spirit is wholly disinterested in that whole process, right? Of what gets us into lunchtime and then what gets us through to the end of a work day, right? The spirit's not interested, right? And when creation energy isn't there, in an environment of imagination, and when we aren't focused on the intentions that energize us, well, where does that leave us, right? Can we see how creative intentions and the energy behind them really could allowing us to be lost in mechanics of apathy and habit and daily routine if we're not nurturing them, right? And if we are in this narrative that is prescribed by the ego, and it is causing, you know, apathy, and we are living in the habits of a daily routine, that really can undermine the imagination process and the ability for intentions to come into their own beautiful fruition. Do we see that? So the question might be, how empowered do we expect our world to be? Right? When we zoom out to a high altitude, how empowered do we really expect our world to become when many of us spend our day devoid of imagination, right? Devoid of creative intentions because we're doing things we don't want to do. And there's not much collective imagination, right, going on out there and inside to power a new earth, maybe, right? To power a new earth experience because, you know, we're all engaged in habits of daily routines that we don't prefer, right? We're locked in brains that don't prefer change. We are creating a narrative. We live in a storyline devoid of imagination and the spark of our spiritual creation. And how do we break free from that, right? How do we break free? If we decide to remain in the cognition of our life experience and we live in this brain, how will we break free, right? If not through dropping into our heart space and dropping into our energy center and deciding to conceive of our experience energetically in a very different way. Right? It's just an observation. Which way we go there is truly up to us. So let's break free from the day's routine, right? For just a minute. Let's do it right now if you want to. What do you say? Let's take a few minutes and do a little reflection. You want to? Let's do a Dixit card, right? We'll imagine a scene in our minds. And we will observe whatever ideas or emotions come up from our subconscious, and we will let that happen, right? We will allow that flow, and we can reflect on it and reflect on the scene that we build in our minds. You want to? We like to do this on Sunday afternoons. It lets us observe what comes up for us that maybe we are experiencing subconsciously, that maybe we don't realize is influencing us or causing emotions that they may be causing. And so we just like a little reflection time. And so here is our scene. Okay, here's our scene, and all we're going to do is sit back and allow the scene to unfold in our space of meditation, right? We're not going anywhere. We are just observing, and we are allowing a scene to unfold in our mind, right? In our mind's eye. And today, we are on a horse. Okay. In this scene, you are on a horse. Okay, you're sitting there on a horse and you are riding a horse. Okay, and on your horse, you are sitting at the edge of a canyon. Okay, you are sitting on your horse at the edge of a canyon. All right, do you see that? And you are trying to reach the other side of the canyon. Okay, you are on your horse at the edge of a canyon, and you are trying to get to the other side of the canyon. Okay. And on the other side of the canyon, there is a trail. And you see the trail, and it continues your journey on the other side of the canyon. And you're noticing that there is nowhere to cross the canyon. As you look to your right and you look to your left, there's nowhere to cross the canyon. Except for a small rainbow, okay? A small rainbow that connects both sides of the canyon. And you see it there. It's right in front of you. It is a small rainbow. And it goes from your side over, all the way over to the other side of the canyon. This beautiful, beautiful rainbow. It's just right there. And there's a sign there next to the rainbow. And the sign says, "Rainbow crossing here." That's what the sign says. Rainbow crossing here. And you look at the sign, right? Rainbow crossing here. And the rainbow is so beautiful, and it extends from one side of the canyon to the other. And it has a particular nature about it. It is gossamer looking or see-through, right? It is gossamer looking. It's see-through. The colors don't make a solid form, right? The rainbow is translucent. And you are sitting on your horse at the edge of the canyon at the Rainbow Bridge, right? And now you are deciding to either cross the canyon on the rainbow or stay where you are. And as you look around and you know where you want to go and you see the way that you can get there, there might be questions that come up in your mind, right? Do you want to cross the canyon? Do you want to cross the canyon? How are you feeling right now about where you are? Right? Do you recognize where you are? Do you enjoy being where you are on your horse at the canyon's edge? How are you feeling right now? And Where are you going on this trail? You've been on this trail and it's led you to the canyon's edge. And you know the trail continues on the other side of the canyon. Where are you going? So look around. What are your surroundings? Right? What are your surroundings? And what waits for you on the other side? It's your intention to get over there to the other side. What waits for you there? And what does your horse look like? And you are looking at your horse now. What does your horse look like? Does your horse want to cross? Does your horse want to cross the Rainbow Bridge? And as you look at the rainbow, what does it look like? What does the Rainbow Bridge look like? And do you trust the sign that tells you to cross? Do you trust the sign? Why might you trust it? Why might you not trust it? And why might you resist right now? And what do you see yourself doing in this next moment of decisions? What is your inclination? And what emotions might be surfacing and expectations? Just some things to think about, and maybe you can find some time today to look back on our scene and contemplate a little bit, do a little more observation, and no judgment, just observation, and see what arises from the subconscious and see if there are things you might want to take a look at and allow to flow through and sit with a little bit today. And I want to thank you for imagining with me today. It's a very powerful thing to do and ever so fun, that's for sure. I'd like to end our time together today with a little more imagination together. I'd like to read something to you. Would you like to listen as I read something and allow us to be in our imaginations together for the next few minutes? I want to read the story, A Kiss for Little Bear. So sit back and relax and let's imagine this story as I read. This is a story by Elsa Holmland Minerick, and it is entitled A Kiss for Little Bear. This picture makes me happy, said Little Bear. And of course, Little Bear has a piece of paper attached to a tree, and he is drawing a picture that makes him happy. And so that sets our scene. Well, hello, Hen. This picture is for Grandmother. Will you take it to her, Hen? Yes, I will, said Hen. Grandmother was happy. This kiss is for Little Bear, she said. Will you take it to him, Hen? I will be glad to, said Hen. And of course, Grandmother loves the picture that Little Bear sent to him, and so she wants to return a kiss to Little Bear, and Hen is going to help. Then, along the way, Hen saw some friends. She stopped to chat. Hello, Frog. I have a kiss for Little Bear. It is from his grandmother. Will you take it to him, Frog? Okay, said Frog. But Frog saw a pond, and he stopped to swim. Hi, Cat. I have a kiss for Little Bear. It is from his grandmother. Take it to him, will you? Cat, hi, here I am in the pond. Come and get the kiss. Oh, said Cat, but he came and got the kiss. Cat saw a nice spot to sleep. Little skunk, I have a kiss for little bear. It is from his grandmother. Take it to him like a good little skunk. So little skunk was glad to do that. But then he saw another little skunk. She was very pretty. He gave the kiss to her, and she gave it back. And he gave it back. And then Hen came along. Too much kissing, she said. But this is Little Bear's kiss from his grandmother, said Little Skunk. Indeed, said Hen. Who has it now? Little Skunk had it. Hen got it back. She ran to the little bear, and she gave him the kiss. It is from your grandmother, she said. It is for the picture you sent her. Take one back to her, said little bear. No, said Hen. It gets all mixed up. The skunks decided to get married. They had a lovely wedding. Everyone came. And Little Bear was the best man. And so that's just a little moment of reading together that allows our imagination to flow. And it's so very fun to listen to people read to us, isn't it? Have we forgotten? Has it been a long time since somebody has read a story to us? It's such a beautiful space for imagination, and I highly recommend any chance you get, read to somebody this week or see if they'll read to you. It's a beautiful moment of connecting with imagination and letting the story bring forth intentions, right, from our characters. What a wonderful experience. I'm so grateful that you shared it with me. Just remember this week, friends, that you can spend as much time as you like at the rainbow's edge, right? Anytime you want. It's a place of choosing wonders if you want to. So as we go into our week, we can stand at the rainbow's edge and allow it to feel beautiful and allow it to take us wherever it is our creative energies want to go. But for now, friends, we are at the end of our time together. I'm so, so glad you joined me today. It was so wonderful to be with you. And thank you, BBS, for being with us too. We're so grateful for all that you do. And so until next time, friends, many rainbow crossings to you, and you have all of my love. And I hope you share it with someone and maybe sit down and read together something super fun and let the imagination flow this week. Until next time.
Time to head home, friends. Thanks for being a part of today's journey. We'll see you back on the playground next Sunday at 1 p.m. Central Time on bbsradio.com. Make sure to subscribe if you enjoyed the show. Find us on Telegram and X to share your insights on topics today. Your input heals the child in us all.